بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم From the kitab concerning aqaid, beliefs Yesterday we read about shirk and the different forms of shirk Today we read concerning bid'ah which is innovation Bid'ah literally means innovation In terms of the sharia it is the introduction of a new deed in deen which cannot be substantiated from the Qur'an and Hadith and did not exist in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Tabi'een and during the period of their followers who are called the Tab'i Tabi'een. Again, the definition of Bid'at and what is classified as Bid'at in the Sharia, it is the introduction of a new deed in deen which cannot be substantiated from the Qur'an and Hadith and did not exist in the time of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and during the period of their followers. To take such an innovation as an integral part of deen, and thereby act upon it, or conversely, to take an integral aspect of deen as being non-essential, and thereby shun it, will also be treated as bid'ah. Similarly, to apply or to specify certain conditions to a permissible act of sharia, which has no basis in the sharia, will also fall within the scope of bid'ah. Bid'ah is a major sin after kufr and shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, to introduce a new thing in deen is bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance leads one to the fire of Jahannam. Bid'ah is of two types. Number one, bid'ah in beliefs, which is called bid'ah fil aqidah. And the second one is bid'ah in action, which is called bid'ah fil amal. The first type, that is bid'ah in beliefs, can in certain cases take a person out of the fold of Islam, and in certain cases not. This is when people invent new beliefs, or invent their own understanding of concepts of Islam, which was not understood by the pious predecessors. The second type of bid'ah, which is called bid'ah fil amal, bid'ah in action, will not cause a person to lose his iman, but will render him a sinner and deviated. Some examples of bid'ah acts and customs in vogue are, examples, decorating graves with a covering, a chadar, or lighting of lamps at graves, cementing or casting concrete on the surface of graves, erecting domes on the graves, to wear garlands at marriage ceremonies, stipulating the 3rd, 7th, or 40th day for reciting the Quran Sharif for Isale Thawab, participating in the customs of Milad, Urs, Giyarvi Sharif, placing food at the graves, kissing the graves, adding words before or after Adhan, like Salat and Salam, to make Dua after Janazah Salah, to do a certain action or dhikr in a specific way and at a specific time with the intention that there will be more reward, or to give adhan at the grave after burying the deceased, or to perform nafal salah in a specific way on specific nights. So these are all examples of bid'ah fil amal, bid'ah when it comes to action and practice. A person involved in bid'ah does not get the ability to repent. And the reason for that is what he thinks he is doing right and it is part of deen. So he is deprived of making tawbah and repenting. He will be deprived of the water of Kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not permissible to honor a bid'ati. This is because by doing so, it entails destroying the structure of deen. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 25th para was recited, and the first ruku of the 25th para is the concluding section of the surah before, that is Surah Hamim As-Sajdah. At the end of the 24th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that for those who do good actions, it is for their own benefit. And for those who do evil actions, it is for their own detriment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, in no way is oppressive to His servants. It won't be such that a person did not commit a sin, and unnecessarily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him, or it won't be so that a person did a good deed and Allah ta'ala does not reward him. In the first verses of the 25th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His all-encompassing knowledge. Allah ta'ala says that to Allah alone is referred to the knowledge of Qiyamah. The knowledge of Qiyamah is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who asks a question, when will Qiyamah occur, it will be referred to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nobody knows the exact time. Further on, Allah ta'ala says that it is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all other things also. And here mention is made of the fruits which emerge from their coverings, from their sheaths, and that which a female bears, in other words, she conceives, and what she delivers, all that is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here not only mention is, reference is made to the gender of the child, that perhaps somebody could say that through technology we can now find out the gender of the child before it is born. But before it was conceived, who knows what the child would be. And also concerning all the qualities and attributes of the child, when he will live, how long he will live for, what type of actions he will do, how much of sustenance he will get, all that is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the weakness and psychology of man, that man is such that he doesn't tire from asking for good, for making dua for good. But if difficulty and hardship afflicts him, then he becomes despondent and he loses all hope. Allah Ta'ala says thereafter that if we make man taste of our mercy after the adversity which had afflicted him, he is surely to say that this is from my side. In other words, this bounty which I am getting, he refuses to acknowledge it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, he attributes it to himself, to his knowledge, to his skills, to his talents. And then he goes on, some insan, they go to that level of ingratitude that they even question whether there is something like Qiyamah. And he says then, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً, that I don't think Qiyamah is to occur. But he says that even if it is, on the assumption that there is something like Qiyamah, then he regards himself, he says concerning himself, that if I am returned to my Rabb, then for me by my Rabb will be the best of conditions. In other words, he remains in that illusion that the wealth and riches and comfort what he has been blessed with in this dunya are actually favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, and a sign that Allah ta'ala is happy with him and he's got acceptance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't believe in the hereafter. But he says that even if there is something like that, just as I am so well off here, my condition there also will be in a good condition. Allah Ta'ala says, we will definitely inform those who are the disbelievers of what they do, and we will make them taste of the very severe punishment. Further, Allah Ta'ala again emphasizes this point, that when we bless insan with our bounties, he withdraws from our showing gratitude and our worship. وَنَعَى بِجَانِبِي, and he turns his side out of pride and arrogance and haughtiness. How arrogant people, they don't even look at a person straight. They look at him in a slanted way. This is how he behaves. But Allah Ta'ala says that when a hardship afflicts him, then he is the one who makes lengthy prayers and du'as, and then he only calls out unto us. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that, mankind, we will definitely be showing you our signs in the horizons, in the universe, and in your own selves also, till the what is haq becomes clearly manifest to you. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the point that everything which we have shown you and we will be showing you, what happens in the universe and even in your own selves. Forget what is outside, look in your inside also, and you will realize that definitely there is a creator who has created this. All these fragile and delicate mechanisms in the functioning of the body are such that no person can ever, a person who is in his sound mind can ever say it just happened by chance. Definitely somebody has created this human being and all what is within the limbs and the organs of the human body. This all reflect the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So man is invited that look around you and look within yourself and you will see and realize the haqq. The next surah, Surah Ash-Shura, is also a Makki surah where the fundamentals of deen have been explained, particularly the aspect of wahi, that is revelation, and also of risalat, that is nabuwat, has also been emphasized in various verses in this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could have made all of man into one nation. In other words, it was within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat that they don't remain a single disbeliever on the surface of the earth and all accept Islam. But Allah ta'ala says, وَلَاكِ يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. Allah ta'ala enters into His mercy whomsoever He wishes. We cannot question the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning why He had deprived somebody of Iman and why others have been blessed with Iman. This is all according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we cannot question. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of many of His signs of His qudrat in the various creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also refutes many of the stubborn statements of the kuffar with regard to deen and the fundamentals of deen. In various ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and then Allah ta'ala draws our attention to the fact that our objective should be the year after. Allah ta'ala says, that person who desires the harvest of the year after, we will increase him in his harvest. And that person who desires the harvest of the dunya, we will give him some of the dunya, a portion of the dunya, what according to Allah ta'ala's decree and wish, only a portion would be given. But for such a person, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ, for him there will be no share whatsoever in the year after. From this we understand that we should make our intentions correct, that why we have been created, why we have been brought into this world, and what is our objective. And our objective should be the year after, and our objective should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all our efforts should be directed in that direction. And what we are blessed with in this dunya are just to see to our basic needs of living in this dunya, but our objective should be the year after. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions again many signs of His great qudrat and also draws our attention to the fact that the sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants man, some are given more, some are given less. Allah ta'ala says that if we had given and expanded sustenance and provisions for all of our bandas, made everybody wealthy, labaghaw fil ard, people would have fallen into rebellion on this earth. The point is that if everybody was made very wealthy, then as mentioned previously, perhaps it was in the 14th para, that the world, the functioning of this universe is dependent on the principle of interdependence. And this will only be if there is this fluctuation and differences in the levels of provisions and rosy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, then nobody will regard himself to be dependent on the next person, with which the functioning of this universe will then cease. The state of interdependence will only be there, if there is this differences in levels of economic condition, with the result that some will then remain always in need of others. Even the most wealthiest of persons, he also can never claim that he is completely independent. Who is going to build his house? He will need builders, he will need architects, he will need engineers, he will need plumbers, he will need so many other types of people. And those people on the other side, they are in need of those of wealth, so that they can earn their rosy by supplying people with their talents and skills. And in this way, the universe continues to function. Allah Ta'ala says further, وَلَاكِ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءَ. Allah Ta'ala sends down to each person a appropriate share of whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes and decrees. That amount Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants everybody. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reminds us that all what conditions which prevail on earth, difficult conditions also, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. It is because of your actions, because of the wrong things which you do, because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you taste some of the consequences thereof in the form of bad conditions. But Allah ta'ala then says, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ. From most of your evil conditions, Allah ta'ala forgives us for. Previously it was mentioned that if Allah ta'ala had to take us to task for every wrong which we do, there won't remain a single soul living on the surface of the earth. All will be completely wiped out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that what we have given you from the things of the dunya are the things to use of the things in this worldly life. But what is by Allah ta'ala is better and it is everlasting. But it is for those who bring iman and place their complete trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the demand of intelligence is that a person pursues those things which are best and everlasting. The things and the material things of this dunya are temporary in nature. Therefore a person shouldn't now put all his energies just to acquire that, but he should always now keep the akhirat in mind. Those qualities of those who are the true mu'mineen are further on mentioned, that they are those that abstain from all the major sins and all types of shameless deeds. Minor sins, a person as insan, he is not ma'asum, he will now and then fall into sin. But the major sins, he abstains from there. These are the qualities of the true mu'mini. And all shameless types of deeds. And when they are angry, when they fall into anger, they forgive. A very great quality of morality that a person, when he is now overtaken by anger, he doesn't vent his anger by taking, exacting retribution and revenge upon that or those people who make him angry. Instead, he forgives. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions their qualities, that they are those that respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are always in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They establish and perfect their salat, and their matters amongst themselves are decided through mutual consultation, which we call mashwara. So this is also one of the good qualities which Allah Ta'ala specifically mentions here of the mu'mineen, that they decide their matters through mutual consultation. Because of this word shura here mentioned, the surat is also called suratu shura. Further on their qualities, that they spend from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them. Another quality mentioned, that when they are afflicted with transgression, they only exact retribution when they are afflicted with transgression. But Allah Ta'ala says the person who forgives and makes amends and corrects the situation and he doesn't exact revenge or retaliation, although according to Sharia, to the level of the oppression which he is suffering, he is allowed to retaliate. But those that forgive and make amends, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. For that person, his reward is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further on, it is also mentioned that even that this is the best option, that a person forgives and overlooks rather than retaliating, although this will be in itself permissible. But Allah Ta'ala says, that is for those who really have the quality of sabr and forgive, and to make sabr and to forgive. This is from those matters which are resolute in nature, which is not for everybody, but those who do this, really, they have did kamal, and they have did something wonderful. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, at the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala again mentions that Allah Ta'ala is in control of everything. Allah Ta'ala, we see that women, sometimes they are left completely barren, they don't get any children, no matter how much efforts they put in that direction, and some are blessed only with male offspring, some are blessed with only female offspring, and some are blessed with both type of offspring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَىٰ. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates as He pleases. The next verse after that, immediately Allah Ta'ala then mentions that this was actually in reply to a hostile demand of the Jews, who said that if you are a true Nabi, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Why is it that you don't speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did? Allah ta'ala says that it is not for a human being that he can speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in one of three ways. One of three ways Allah ta'ala communicates with a person. One is through inspiration, the other one is behind a veil, as was the case with Musa alayhi salam, or Allah ta'ala sends a messenger in the form of an angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, who then transmits the message and wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a person. Then only can a person now communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala in the next surah, Surah Az-Zukhruf, also a Makki surah in which the fundamentals of deen have been explained. The first ruku also mostly Allah ta'ala mentions his great creations, where a person, if he reflects in all these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will definitely realize that Allah ta'ala is existing, he is only one, and the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be understood. Further on, Allah ta'ala then makes mention to the wrong, absurd belief of the polytheists, the mushrikeen, who regarded the angels to be the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that what kind of people they are, that they are attributing offspring, and that also daughters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas, if they themselves are given the glad tidings of the birth of a child, a daughter in the house, we will see that they become so sad, and they become so gloomy, and they are in a state of great grief and depression, as was the custom in those days, where female offspring, people used to look down upon them, and Allah Ta'ala says that now that which they don't like to be liked for themselves, they are attributing that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of thinking is this? Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that Nabi who other nations also, they try and now say that we are on the millet of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, not realizing that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was pure and pure monotheist. In other words, believing only in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These mushrikeen, they also claim, how can they claim to be on the millet of Ibrahim alayhi salam, whereas Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was never in any way affiliated to any of their polytheistic beliefs which they believe in. Further on, one of the other objections which the mushrikeen had upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if he calls himself to be a Nabi, and he says that what he is getting as revelation is the Quran Majid from Allah Ta'ala, they say, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ, that why has this Quran not been revealed to a great person from the two cities, referring to Makkah and Taif, the two big cities of their time. In other words, they were referring to the fact that if Allah Ta'ala had to depute anybody as his Nabi and send down the revelation of the Quran and Majid to him, then why to him? He was born as an orphan. He hasn't got any worldly status and wealth like others. If Allah Ta'ala wished to now make somebody a Nabi, it should have been a great influential person, what they regard to be great, in other words, in the sense of the dunya. Allah Ta'ala responds to that. Ahum yaqsimuna rahmata rabbik? Are they trying to distribute the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, nabuwat, the office of nabuwat, is solely on the discretion and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the process of selection. A person cannot earn and study to become a Nabi. A person, only that who Allah Ta'ala selects through his wisdom and mercy to be a Nabi. So are they trying to put their finger into this process of selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And by way of example, Allah Ta'ala then mentions in the next verse that we are the ones who distribute amongst them their livelihood in this worldly life. In other words, they are not even in control of their own sustenance. Sustenance is also in our hands. So when they don't even have control of sustenance, who must be getting more and who must be getting less, then how are they trying to now interfere in this in the selection of Nabuwat? They don't have any choice in that matter, just as they don't have choice concerning their sustenance and livelihood in this dunya. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ, that we have raised some in status over others. In other words, when it comes to the sustenance of this world, and the same point which was just mentioned now, the object of not having economic equality amongst all the individuals is لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا, so that some can take work from others. If this economic equality was prevalent, then who will now want to work for anybody else? And then this world cannot continue in a sustained form. Therefore, from this we understand that those who try and promote socialistic or communistic ideas, where their main point is that there must be economic equality, this is not desirable, nor is it practical in any way. And all those systems which have been tried over the past decades, we have seen with our eyes that all those systems have collapsed in such a way where now hardly any, although they claim to have those ideas and running their countries in those lines, but definitely, and everybody has seen it, that in no way can it succeed. The only way forward is to run our economic systems on the Islamic way of economics, not in the capitalist system, which is the extreme on the other end, and nor on the communist or socialist type of ideals. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that if it was not for the fear that the people of this ummah will think that why are the others being given so much wealth, Allah Ta'ala says that we would have made the houses of those who are the disbelievers. We would have made their houses of gold and silver and everything in their houses, the doors, the stairways, everything we would have made it of gold and silver. In other words, these things hold no value whatsoever in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But because now the people who are on haqq, perhaps they might also now start wavering. For that reason, Allah Ta'ala says we did not do so. But yet we see that so many kuffar and kuffara also have been blessed with many of the worldly comforts and the riches. But this is no way a sign of them being accepted in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says that person who now turns away from the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says we appoint for him a shaitan who will become his companion. So from this we understand that those that who live lives completely unmindful and negligent from the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says we appoint a shaitan, whether in jinnat form or in the human form, who will then further instigate him to the disobedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this we should be mindful of, and from this we understand that those that are constant in the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala protects him from such conditions. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then makes mention of some of the incident of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, who had passed already, and the encounters with their nations, and at the end of those that Allah Ta'ala mentions, Al-Akhillau Yawma Idin Ba'duhum li Ba'din Aduun illa al-Muttaqeen. That friends on that day, on the day of Qiyamah, some will be enemies of the others. In other words, the friendship of the dunya, there will be no friendship. Instead, they will become enemies of one another. Illa al-Muttaqeen. The exception of the Muttaqeen. The Muttaqeen, true friendship with the Muttaqeen in this world, will also now continue in the year after, and they will also then benefit one another. But otherwise, friendship in this world, which was not based on taqwa and deen, that will now result in them becoming enemies on one another, and each one will try and blame the other for having deviated from the haqq. The next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, is the surah Dukhan. Allah ta'ala makes mention of those that refuse to, in the beginning Allah ta'ala makes mention of the Qur'an Majeed, that we have revealed this Qur'an Majeed in the blessed night. The blessed night, there is difference of opinion that what night is being referred to here, whether it is Laylatul Qadr or whether the night of Bara'at, whatever the case might be, we have revealed this Qur'an Majeed on this night. However, in the other verse of the Qur'an Majeed, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, there it is clearly mentioned that the revelation of the Qur'an Majeed was in the night of Qadr. Thus, we have to understand that it means revelation from the Lohe Mahfuz, the sacred tablets, to the skies of the dunya. But from there to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, the entire Qur'an Majeed was revealed bit by bit in a gradual form over a period of 23 years. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention that these people who refuse to accept the message of Haqq, the people of Makkah, Allah Ta'ala says, فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Let them await that day in which the sky will bring forth an evident smoke. In other words, it will become a smoke. What is meant by smoke here? Some commentators mention it refers to one of the major signs of Qiyamah. That condition will prevail just before Qiyamah. But some other commentators say this occurred already, that after the Muslims that made Hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, the people of Makkah were afflicted with a severe drought and famine. So severe was the drought that people were forced to eat things which normally humans don't even eat, dead carcasses and animals and which normally are not consumed, just to survive. And they even sent a delegation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was already in Madinatul Munawwara, that he must make dua that Allah Ta'ala alleviates this condition from them. It is called Dukhan because a person in extreme hunger, everything in front of him seems to be in a haze, to be in a form like it's a blurred form. A person now, his faculties also of vision, etc., don't function properly because of extreme hunger. So Allah Ta'ala says that this condition will encompass and cover all the people, and it will be a painful punishment for them. And they will make dua to Allah Ta'ala that remove from us this affliction, and we will definitely believe. But, and this is exactly what happened to the people of Makkah. They made Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam make dua on their behalf, and they said that if now the condition is removed, then they will then believe. But when Allah Ta'ala alleviated that condition from them, tawallaw anhu, they turned away and they went back to their old ways of kufr and shirk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention in the surah also concerning the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his encounters with Fir'aun. And in the last ruku, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the painful and severe forms of punishment which Allah Ta'ala has kept for the people of Jahannam. That the tree of Zakkum, a type of a tree which will be in Jahannam, which we can maybe understand, not exactly, but like the cactus, which is extremely bitter, but it will be the food for the people of Jahannam. Kalmuhli, like the residue of old oil in the bottom of a pot, and some commentators said it will be melted, a molten copper, and it will burn, it will boil in their bellies, like how boiling water boils, and it will be told to the angels that catch them and drag them into the middle of Jahannam, then pour boiling water over their heads, and tell them, taste, in other words, taste of the punishment. Why? إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ. In the dunya, you are very honorable and very very noble and honorable. In other words, you regarded yourself to be a big shot and a great person in the dunya. Now taste this punishment. So these are the conditions of the people of Jahannam, which Allah Ta'ala describes. And thereafter, the people of Jannat, all the great bounties which Allah Ta'ala has kept for them, is also described. The last surah, Suratul Jathiyah. Jathiyah means to kneel, to go onto one's knees. Allah Ta'ala describes the day of Qiyamah, that on that day, all the nations, they will be kneeling in front of Allah Ta'ala, pleading for mercy when they will see the terror and the great difficulties of the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً. And each nation will then be called towards his book of deeds, and they will then be retributed according to their actions. Allah Ta'ala says, this book of deeds of ours, يَنْتِقُ عَلَيْكُمْ, will speak against you with truth. And we, Allah Ta'ala says, we, through our angels, we meticulously recorded each and every action which you used to do. None of our actions go unnoticed. The angels, they record everything. In between, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions concerning the logical proof of Qiyamah, of the year after. Allah Ta'ala says that those people who perpetrate evil, do they think that we will make them and those who have brought iman and do good actions, we will make them all equal in their lives and even in their dying? In other words, that can never be. Here we find a mu'min who now goes under so much difficulty to remain in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. Ad-dunya is like the prison for a mu'min. On the other hand, a person in disbelief and kufr, he loves a carefree life. He loves it up, as we say. And if after they die, and nothing happens after this, then where is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala's justice demands that now, the condition now, will now, after death, each one will now have to face the consequences of how he lived and what he did in this world. So this is ample proof also, logically also, that definitely this life is not the end of it all. After this life, there is another life where actual retribution will take place.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Al-Iman bid'u wa sab'una shubah, fa'afdaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah, wa adnaha imatatul adha min at-tariq. Hazrat Abu Huraira radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu se marwi hai, ke Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne irshad farmaya, ke iman ki 70 se ziyada shakhe hai. Baazi riwayat mein 77 aayi hai. Unme sabse afzal la ilaha illallah ka parna hai. اور سب سے کم درجہ راستہ سے کسی تکلیف دہ چیز اینٹ لکڑی کانٹے وغیرہ کا ہٹا دینا. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, ایمان comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of لا الہ الا اللہ, and the lowest or easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, Iman comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of La ilaha illallah, and the lowest or easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway.